Let's read. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, let's begin reading at verse 11. Verse 11. I guess I ought to start with verse 10. Huh? And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, transparent. And had a great wall and high, or a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, on the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, the length and the breadth and the height of it are all equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass, transparent. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sargeus, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. There's your moonshine. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Tremendous passage of Scripture right there, because it tells you about our glorious home. Before we discuss it, let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord to bless our study tonight. Doyle. Amen. 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 You know, we have so many things here in the earth around us that keep us earthly minded. You know, cars and houses and dogs and cats and jobs and family and all that other kind of stuff. So tonight, it seems very appropriate for us just to step back for a second and say, you know what? Let's don't forget about our glorious home. And let all this overshadow, in the little temporary time that we have down here, all of that that we're going to enjoy in eternity in just a short while. It's really, really great. We need a reminder about our glorious home in heaven. And when we get there, we're going to see some things that we find in the text and some things that we find in other texts nearby. First of all, we're going to see our glorious God. Look back here in Revelation chapter 21. At verse 11, having the glory of God. You're going to get to see God. Revelation 21:11, talking about the city coming down, having the glory of God. You know why he's there? Jesus Christ said when he was here on earth, no man hath seen God at any time. He'd seen him. Jesus had seen him. And he declared him unto us, but there's only so much that he could tell us about him. And you know, our minds are conditioned to read things, we just read this passage of Scripture, and not really totally comprehend what we're reading. I didn't like history when I was a kid. For one thing, I thought it's useless, it's over now. Can't change it. Not thinking that, you know, you learn from history so you don't repeat the same mistakes. And so history is very valuable. The other thing is it's really hard to imagine and conceive the things that went on when they talk about men that died in the Civil War and all that. You just, you can't seem to grasp it emotionally. You can't do much more than just absorb the knowledge of it and sort of think about it because you haven't seen that many dead people lying on a battlefield, you know, after a war like that. Now, Hollywood tries to give you something to stimulate your imagination with all the sounds and sights and the gory blood and the music and everything else. But you know something? When we read this passage of Scripture, you're not reading a journalist chronicle. You're not reading a newspaper. You're not reading an encyclopedia. You're not reading a history. God doesn't expect you to use your imagination. One of these days, you're going to see this. And it is so far and away more glorious than you can ever imagine. Imagine you are going to see visibly with your eyes the God that made this universe. The God that made you. The God that loved you enough to send Jesus Christ down here to die for us. The God that's in charge of what we're doing here right now. The God that wrote this book and has preserved it. The God that provides for you. The God that makes the air that we breathe. And this God is so low rated by everybody else in the world, and all the gods of the world are the ones that are so esteemed. You know, you think over there about what happened with Diana, the goddess of the Ephesians, and how there was an uproar of the whole city. Everybody knew how glorious she was and how glorious her temple was. May I tell you something? All the gods of the world are arrayed in glory by their earthly makers. But the best that men can hope to do with their gods is to create something which, compared to our God, is like filthy rags. When you finally get to see the glory of God Almighty and the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ and thank Him personally, you're going to fall down on your face. You're not even going to know what to say for about 1,000 years. You're just going to go boom, face down like that, just like John did when John saw angels and he fell down before them. Because they're so spectacular, and you're going to see your glorious God and have fellowship with Him now, but you're going to have fellowship with Him of a nature that you can't even imagine or conceive. And it's just going to be spectacular. You know, everybody wants to make a star, make a God out of everything that goes on down here. If he's an athlete, they want to make a God out of him. If he's a musician, they want to make a God out of her. If they're a politician, they want to make a God out of this person. And these are just people. Not anything at all like our glorious God. Now, this is just a little aside, but it's interesting. I've just finished a book called Duty, and it's about Paul Tibbetts, who was the pilot that flew the Enola Gay and dropped the bomb on Hiroshima. He was the man that actually built the team of 1,800 people and went to Wendover, Utah, and set this up secretly so that they could fly the mission without detection, drop the bomb, and end the war. And so the guy that was interviewing him said to him, did you know that when you dropped that bomb on Hiroshima, that was going to end the war? He said, without a doubt, we knew when that bomb did the destruction that it did, this war was not long for history. Of course, 3 days later, another bomb was dropped on Nagasaki, and just a few days later than that, Japan surrendered and it was over. Okay? And so He said, yes, we did know that this was going to be the end of the war and that there were literally hundreds of thousands of lives of soldiers both in Japan and in the United States and in other countries that were spared because they weren't going to have to go in and fight this war. We knew that. So the guy asked him this question, did you celebrate? And he said, did we what? He said, did you celebrate? He said, no, we flew our mission. We flew over there, dropped the bomb, flew home. It's what we do. He goes, well, why didn't you celebrate? He said, this society today that celebrates over everything, they jump up and down with the football game, you know, when the goal is scored and go crazy when the basket's made and all that. He said, we didn't do back. You got to remember the age and era we grew up in. Babe Ruth came to the plate. He knocked the ball out of the park. He ran the bases and he went back to the dugout. And the next batter came up to bat. That's the way we did it. He said, what we see today is a lack of discipline. People do. They get excited. Their dog wins a competition. Their calf wins a competition in a thing, and everybody goes crazy. Truly, people go crazy over the least little things. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to go crazy. And rightly so, when you see God. And you know something? You don't have to worry about capturing the moment and getting it on your iPhone and so you can remember the deal. You'll see Him forever. He'll be there every day, 24 hours a day for the rest of eternity, right there. Our glorious God. You know something? There's no need to jump up and down over the great accomplishment. Oh, my kids made A's. Ha-ha! Okay. You just save it all till you see God. Because it's going to be great. Going to be wonderful. Going to be beyond your imagination. Not only that, but not only do we have our glorious God, but look here in verse 22. Our glorious temple. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Notice this glory of God in verse 23. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. They so outshine the glory of our sun and moon. These are like little flashlights, little LED, AAA battery flashlights compared to the glory of God. And that temple, there isn't a building there because God and Jesus Christ are the temple of it. I suppose they are so glorious no man could build a temple that is worthy of them. And furthermore, like David said, or Solomon said when he completed the temple, you know, heaven and earth can't contain you. So how are we going to put you in this house? They're the temple. They're the temple. Now, all around the world, when you travel, there are church buildings, and if you go on tours, they take you in the buildings. You ever been to one of those? And there are mosques, and there are cathedrals, and there are temples in which people honor and worship their gods. Now, have you ever gone out here to Port Aransas during the sandcastle contest? You ever done that? All right, you go over there, and some of those things are kind of interesting. They go, wow, they did all that with sand? But it's not all that spectacular. The waves come, and the next day you go over there, and where's the sandcastle? All these great temples and mosques and cathedrals and church buildings, all that stuff, those are like sandcastles compared to the temple that you're going to see when you get to heaven. Don't waste your money or your breath. You know why? All these buildings down here have to be built. They have to be maintained, and they all decay, and they are all the work of men. That up there is the work of God. And there is no glory in anything that a man can do down here compared to the glory of the temple of God in heaven. And you're going to get to see that temple all the time for the rest of eternity. As a matter of fact, when you get to heaven, not only are you going to see our glorious God and our glorious temple, but you're going to see our glorious city. All of it was described here. So I'm not going to read the passage again from verse 11 to verse 21. But listen, just think about this. Our city is so spectacular that God has taken the most precious jewels that women love to wear and admire in museums, and He said, we'll use those for the foundations of the wall. Imagine what the rest of the city looks like when He says the city is made of gold, when the streets are made of gold. Listen, everybody around here is coveting, purchasing, wanting to own gold. They love it. And God said, yeah, we'll use that for the street. Man, you got to think for a minute. You talk about something, a city where seeing people say, man, you know what, if you want to travel around the world to see something, you need to go to Vienna. Okay, it's nice. I've been there. You ought to see Dubai. Well, you ought to see what they look like after a bomb gets dropped on them. Really? I mean, there's nothing. It's just a bunch of rock and steel and mortar and brick and wood and termites and trash. I mean, that's what, you know, is out back. Not this city. This city is unlike anything that you have ever seen in your life. And you know what? It's ours. This is our city. Our city, our temple, our God. The world can have their gods. They cuss our God. They take our God's name and use it in vain by putting the word damn behind it and put it in movies so they can sell movies. That's what they do with our God. And then they worship this brick and mortar and steel and wood and sheetrock and carpet and all that. you know what? This is all going away. It's all going to melt with a fervent heat. That glorious city is going to still be there. How long? Forever. No maintenance. Do you know what? There's no city council in that city. There are no city ordinances in that city. There are no city codes in that city. Praise God. All right, and then that's not all. These things here we've seen are just some of the aspects of the text, but then there's going to be our glorious mansions. John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You got a mansion. Now, you know what? I've been to a lot of your houses, and they're pretty nice. They really are. But I also noticed something about them. They all need maintenance. They all need maintenance. It drives me crazy. I say, okay, I got this list. I want to get all this knocked out. You get it all knocked out, and guess what? Tomorrow, you got another something to do. The windows get dirty. The spiders build cobwebs. The yellow jackets make nests. The windows need cleaning, right, Jeremy? It's a way to make a living, praise God. You know, something goes wrong with the light bulb. Something goes wrong with the plumbing. Something goes wrong with something all the time. And you know what? They're really expensive. They really are overpriced. You ever think about that? And furthermore, if you live in Nueces County, you got to pay a lot of taxes and insurance to live in one of these houses. Because they say, oh yeah, but your house might blow away and we're going to insure it. I hate to think what it'd be like to have to sort through all of that when one of those hurricanes comes through here. But they really, you know, and up in heaven, you have a mansion that is so much more spectacular than anything you could possibly own here. Have you ever traveled around anywhere and seen a palace in the world? Yeah, we've had an opportunity to see a few palaces. And you know what? They're pretty spectacular. And if you've never traveled around to see them, you can just look up on the internet and you can find pictures and go around and do a virtual tour if you wanted to. And they're pretty spectacular. There's the Forbidden City in Beijing, which is reputed to be the most fabulous mansion in the world. There is the Patala Palace in Tibet, Alhambra in Granada, I've been there. The Palace of Versailles, Mysore Palace in India, Peña National Palace in Portugal, Catherine Palace in St. Petersburg, I've been there. Schönbrunn Palace in Vienna, I've been there. Oh boy, isn't that something? You put all those together and they don't hold a candle to your mansion in heaven. They don't hold a candle to it. You know, I know that I can't do justice to the text and all of that, but you know what's happened? We have become so earthly minded by all these things and so impressed with things down here. We're here tonight talking about where we're going to go and live forever, something that is beyond your imagination. It's kind of like, okay, you know, if you finish here pretty quick, we can get to pray and go home and eat Pop-Tarts.
Really?
Really? You know, the thing about it is, the Lord said to us, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And we need to step back from time to time and just imagine what this is like. He only gave us a few words. But we need to think about it, because the reason is we forget and we make such an investment of our time and effort down here and not much of an investment in our time and effort up there. And that's what we're going to have forever, and this is what we're not going to have for much longer. You know, we were talking the other day, and we've been praying for the woods, and a lot of you ladies probably thought this. I've thought about it and prayed for them. How hard it is to uproot yourself from a house that you built on acreage that you bought. And Pam was telling me the other day, you know, I have to drive by that house every day and look over there, and I said to the Lord the other day, she said, this is a cruel trick that I have to come by here because of the memories that are associated with that. But let me tell you something. And I understand what you said to me completely, because I feel the same way about places here. But may I tell you something? None of us is going to keep any of this for any length of time. And why would we when we have all of that up there? If God says, can I sell your house so we can invest that to take you over to Moldova, you know what we ought to all be doing? We ought to be saying, absolutely. Absolutely, for the opportunity to be able to spend eternity in a mansion that you have built in a city that's made of gold, you can have it. And the termites that go with it. You know, this is the place where we raise our children, and this is the place where we have our memories and fondness of marriages that grow and develop under the roofs of these houses. But let me tell you something, this is all temporary. That's up there, that's all been there. And it's going to be there forever, and it's yours. It's ours. It's tremendous. Let me say, we're going to see our glorious God and His glorious temple and our glorious city and our glorious mansions. And you know something else? We're going to have our glorious bodies. And I'm telling you what, isn't that right? I am ready. Listen, maybe the other stuff couldn't resonate with you. Maybe I couldn't get personal with you. I can get personal with you on this one. I can get personal with you on this one. I want a glorified body. I mean, you know, backaches, headaches, sinus infections, limps, gimps, groans, creaks, pops, snaps, breaks, cancers. Who wants that stuff? You know, listen, I'm thinking about something. You know, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, and He was walking in the earth, there were a lot of sick people and there were a lot of devil-possessed people, and He went around and healed them all. Well, if somebody was young, like Jairus' daughter was 12 years old, and you know the sadness of a family losing a 12-year-old daughter, and they said, please heal our daughter, and He heals their daughter. You know what? I understand that. And truly, it was a sign to Israel that their Messiah had arrived. But you know, the longer that I think about what Jesus Christ did, truly the reason that He healed the people that He healed was to glorify God and let Israel know your kingdom has arrived and the King of your kingdom is here. That's what that's all about. And of course, some got it and a lot of them didn't get it. Well, now here we are, we're beyond that. Do you know where you're going when you die? You're going to the place we're talking about. You know, your ticket is punched. You are on the train. When we were little kids and mom and dad were taking us to somewhere, what was the question we kept asking the whole way there? Are we there yet? And here we are down in this earth and we don't ask God, are we there yet? Listen, I know that Jesus Christ can heal. And I know that I'm not in a situation where I'm facing death in a deathbed right now, but I think I know how I'm going to respond to it, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you what I think I will be thinking. And if I change my mind, I'll let you know. But I think I'm going to be thinking, don't pray for my healing. I don't want to be healed. I want to go. Because there's somebody I've been wanting to see and thank personally for a long time. Why would I want to sit around here for one more tax year? What joy or glory is in that? Why do I want to stay around one more day for one more mosquito to suck one more vial of blood? Or another hospital visit or another lab report or another... You know, there are a lot of... I'll tell you what, there are a lot of humiliating things that doctors do when you get sick and you get to be our age and up. Have you ever gone to a pharmacy and walked through the aisle that has the diapers in it? Have you ever noticed that some of those are really big? They're for you. In just a little while. You want to be around here for that? I don't want to be around here for that. Now I get sick and somebody says, oh, we need to pray for our pastor that God will heal him. Don't pray that. My kids they're making their own livings now. Don't you want to be around here to see your grandkids? Well, if they get saved, I will. Paul said, you know, I'm in a strait betwixt two. It's more needful for me to stay down here for you, but if God gave me an excuse, I take it. And that's what Paul was saying, because it is far better to be with the Lord than it is to be down here. It really is. And so as you and I face things that are changing around us, and we're finding that this world is getting worse. People say, you know what, we need to make this better place, a better place to live. God's going to burn it up. Why do I want to waste time making it down here a better place to live? For whom? The devil and his crowd? I want to fix this up for the Antichrist so when he comes down here to run it, it's a little bit cleaner and a little bit nicer. I'm not going to hug any trees. But he's going to smoke them all anyway. You talk about a forest fire. Because it's all up there. The glorified body is the solution to your problem. The streets of gold, the mansion in which you live, that's where you, listen, what if somebody says, well, they're going to eat you out of house and home. You know, the government might come and run you out and you won't be in your home anymore. That's fine. They are not welcome in where I'm going. Because the Bible goes on to say, when we read that passage, he said, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. I'm in that book. That's where I'm going. And anybody else that's in that book, okay, we're going to be up there together. If they're not in that book, they can't tax that land. They can't code that land. They can't enforce that land. They can't cuss God in that land. They can't be homosexual in that land. They can't do vile things in that land. They don't produce movies out of Hollywood. They don't do anything to defile our home. Amen. Somebody says, we need to clean it up down here. Let it go on to hell where it's headed anyway. Let's just try to see if we can't rest souls and get them in our home. Our place is a whole lot better to live than theirs. Now, I don't mean to tempt God by the things that I say when I say don't pray that He would heal me. I don't mean to be that way and tempt God. You don't understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is how much more I'd rather be there than here. How much more? Well, you know what? If you died like that, you know, then your wife would be a widow. Yeah, well, there are a lot of you that have gone through that. And you know what? The God that saved you is the God that takes care of you until you go through that process and get there where your loved ones are. There is not a loved one on in heaven that left a loved one on the earth that would come back here even for 5 seconds to tell you not to worry about it. Because they don't want to miss out on all the great stuff that's going on up there. All they say to you is, come see me, quick. Listen, don't worry about it. This thing down here, you can't fix this. The devil's in charge of this kingdom down here. He's the one that has the glory here. We got something glorious. The devil has never, ever been invited to step foot in. Our glorious home. It's yours. It's mine. That's where we're going. That's where we're going to be forever. And it is the greatest place in the universe. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And that's where they're going to stay. Because moth and rust don't corrupt up there. Not like things down here. So don't get your view of heaven based on how you see things here. Remember, God's going to give you a glorified body. Everything's going to be fine. There'll be no sin in it, no sorrow in it, no death in it, nothing but joy and eternity with God forever. Like John, I would say, even so, come Lord Jesus. Let's go. Amen? Father, we're sure thankful today for an opportunity to just be reminded how great our home is on the other side. And may it actually help us, Lord, to just put a big smile on our face and say, you know what? One day soon, we'll be there. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a glimpse of what we're going to see on the other side. For we ask you to bless these words in our lives for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.